listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table. Last session at the Nasty Table.
We took your contract to help you go to the Grand Arc.
The pleasure is mine. Camels, beasts of burden. No. Perhaps you can visit the stables. The stable master. He could give you a good deal.
Crossbody 3-3 switch stitch.
Someone told me that kobolds eat these. Is that true?
Some do. I don't.
I could give you a mule and alter the cart, package it together for 20 gold.
I like this one.
I like the chestnut.
I like that
one
too. He's bringing a mystery man.
I know he was stranded at one point, but he returned.
You want to try that again?
You're a mage blacksmith?
Yes. I come from Maifstone. We all are.
I just shrugged my shoulders. Maybe I'll be back.
I don't care.
Oh.
And what's so funny to me is how it was like, okay, first of all, and this is just like a basic principle that I hold to myself, is like the idea that 9/11 took away people's inspiration and creativity is fucking insane, because if anything, 9/11 improved people's creativity. Like, it's a source of that you can draw inspiration from, in the same way that the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombings like inspired an entire wave of cultural stuff. That's like the smallest issue that I have with that fucking... Dude, it wasn't even an essay. It was a fucking thesis paper.
Mm-hmm.
That dude submitted that as a thesis that for guy, like his fucking really master's.
Thought, he really thought he was cooking with that essay. It was garbage.
It was so stupid, mm-hmm. because... And I don't take it, like, personally, where I'm like, well, you know, oh, well, you should just let people have fun. Like, all of his points were just wrong. Just, like, stupid.
I didn't realize that Delta Green, like, had to be that on top of every single fucking event.
Yeah, that was just...
Like, they can't just pull, like, a Marvel and just be like, whatever, didn't happen.
That dude does everything with Delta Green but play Delta Green.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. First of all...
that guy's like this, 100%.
Why...
his fucking glasses.
Out of all the things in this world that you can... You can choose to gatekeep. Like, I understand people who gatekeep certain shit, because I think gatekeeping's important, but, like, why are you gatekeeping this obscure fucking tabletop game that, like, nobody knows about?
I don't get how you gatekeep any TTRPG. I don't get that.
Well, you need to gatekeep Dungeons & Dragons.
Why?
Because then, if you don't gatekeep the things that you care about while they're wildly popular, you are going... We had this conversation about the people who play tabletop and the people who play role-playing games and the people who play D&D. You are opening the door for... deviants, miscreants. I don't want those people in my circle.
The only thing that changes it, I think, that really makes a change is, like, Wizards crazy. Of the Coast abides by those people and bows
down
to those people.
They
that's,
do.
That's
they
the
do.
Part.
Curriculum of Strixhaven, that entire book, it added, like, 4 furry races. It was like it's the Harry Potter book. It adds, like, the magical, mystical, wizarding world of fucking, like a school, and it's like, dude, like, why are you fucking paying any mind to these people? It's just because they spend a lot of money. They're whales for it, but, like, yeah, no, I think gatekeeping the things that you care about is super important. Where, like, I don't know. Like, I just... These people who bite into this are people who naturally tend to have inclinations to have hyperfixations about certain things. And that happens with D&D a lot, where people will fucking obsess over Dungeons & Dragons, and almost as if the collective of these people tried to move the needle in a certain direction for the game, as if, like, the community and the people who play this game are one singular hive mind person. It's like, oh, well, you need to play Dungeons & Dragons like this. You know, you need to make sure you get consent from your table. I do that with you guys. But, like, if you're clinically online like I am, you understand how horrible these people are.
Yeah.
Yeah. WoW did it recently with like their dragon people race. It's like just straight furry looking people. It's not like what you would expect a dragon person to look like.
And do you know why that is? It's because furries, for some reason, the richest people in the world are furries, and they commission art for like fucking tens of thousands of dollars. And so they'll buy the skins, they'll buy the cosmetics, they'll buy the expansion packs, they'll buy the pre-order bonuses, they'll buy all that shit. And they feed into it. But I mean, just as gatekeeping as a whole, I just, if you don't gatekeep the things that you care about, you're going to lose it. And I also am never really crazy about the idea that any particular hobby, interest, or piece of media should have a community behind it. I think that's fucking stupid and kind of cringy. I don't want to connect with people about Dungeons & Dragons. I don't. Not with strangers. I want to connect with my friends about Dungeons & Dragons.
It's people that don't have friends. That's what it is. It's people that don't have friends.
I think so.
That's 100% the right thing.
Like, and
people
I...
that have, like, friends and, like, play, I guess, like, normally or, like, regularly. Like, no one's thinking to, like... You know what I mean? No one's thinking to be like that.
But
if
you...
Like, or care enough.
If you go on Roll20, which is, like, a website for tabletop stuff, they have public games, and you can request to join and play with people online. I think that's fine, but, like, I'm a closeted theater kid, so I feel very uncomfortable expressing myself in front of you people, but I've gotten over that. To express myself in front of strangers, because I think tabletop role-playing games works very hard to kind of dig out the deepest parts of you. You know, these parts that kind of force you to be an actor, force you to critically think about a character's personality traits, which sometimes might make you think about your own personality and stuff like that. Being at this table, it makes you very vulnerable, I think. When you're forced into improv situations and when you really connect to the character, and like I say, these high-level roleplay moments, it might not be it for everybody, but I see it maybe once every 10 or so sessions of, like, holy shit, like, that's like a real physical, tangible thing, and you have to be vulnerable for that because it is acting. You can't do that. I can't do that with a fucking guy I don't know. I can't do that. But my larger point is that if you do browse those rooms that you can go to, it's like 6-7 pages of trigger warnings, you know, and it's trigger warnings over like the weirdest fucking things. Like, I was looking at it and it's like these people in this community believe that if you are to run any kind of campaign that has, you know, spider creatures in it, you need to have trigger warning, arachnophobia. And I get it, but like, if you're that sensitive, why are you playing this game in the first place? You know?
Yeah.
Yes, I take it to the extremes. I did for LFECU, I get it, but I don't know. Something about it just doesn't feel right to me. I don't think you should play Dungeons & Dragons with strangers. There, I said it.
I love the distance there, though. Trigger warnings about spiders or molested children for 2.5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be fair, I did put out a trigger warning at the beginning of LFECU. I think I even put out a trigger warning at the beginning of this, but like... I don't know. I guess it's different because this is like a podcast, and I'm not going to keep any of this in, by the way. I don't want to, you know, go off on a tangent here, but...
Piss off everybody that listens to Dungeons & Dragons podcasts.
No, we should keep it in.
It's really fucking entire audience, dude.
We should do exactly what you're saying. We should gatekeep our fucking table.
Honestly.
Nobody should listen to us.
Create a cool D&D community.
Okay, all right. No, here's the thing.
Back off. Fucking go.
I didn't even think about this until you just said it. And it's related to the hoodie that I'm wearing right now. This is made by a company called Death Saves. It's dead. Ran by Joe Maginello, who's married to Sofia Vergara.
Not anymore, they got divorced.
Oh, when they get divorced?
Last year?
Joe Maginello. Cool guy. Big geek. He's like a fucking, what's the guy's name? Henry Cavill type, where it's like, you know, a decently cool guy who's really into nerdy shit. And this brand was always really cool to me because it mixed a lot of old school D&D stuff with like heavy metal influences. And that's why I always loved this brand. And they went out of business. So when this was all going on, when Death Saves was at its highest point, there was a sub-community that was just fucking chill dudes just playing Dungeons & Dragons with these heavy metal influences, with these more grimdark, grim fantasy kind of ideations about what a story should look like, and with, above all else, a heavy influence from earlier versions of Dungeons & Dragons. So yes, There should be a cool community for Dungeons & Dragons, and it was Death Saves, and it's fucking dead. I was so heated, like, it was like 20 minutes ago when I put this hoodie on, and I remembered that they don't exist anymore, so it just pissed me the fuck off. And it was really, really cool when it was a thing. I've had this hoodie for, like, I used to wear it when we ran the OG games with Mario.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've had that forever.
And then I got the other one that has the rules for meat grinder mode on the sleeve. I love that shirt. Anyway, I'm reminiscing. Last thing I wanted to do before we get into a recap is... No, fuck that. We'll do that in recap. Can I please have a recap of the last session? Aarakocra's in the book. I mentioned it last session, so it's just one of the things that I wanted to change in this setting. I never liked pronouncing the word Aarakocra. I never really appreciated Aarakocra's lore, so I just redid it. They are Quetzalborn, as in Quetzalcoatl, the Aztecian deity.
What's your issue with the other word?
Aarakocra. It sounds like,
Artichoke.
No, what's the... it sounds like cloaca, and I don't like that, because cloaca is a bird's asshole and vagina hole thing. Mm-hmm. And I always skeeve the word Aarakocra, because it sounds like cloaca, and I don't like that. Because bird, I just kept thinking about bird shit. And their lore is, like, stupid in the book. Quetzalborn are cool. And there's only one version of Aarakocra. They're just, like, white birds. I'm like, fuck that. What about seagulls? What about a fucking pelican? What about, like, a fucking raven? What about a motherfucking vulture? What about a turkey? You know? Wizards of the Coast, I went there.
Oh, yeah, you're bird heavy so far.
I had a bomb strapped to my fucking chest in the Wizards of the Coast main lobby. And I said, listen, I don't like what you guys are doing with Aarakocra. I woke up, I had wet the bed. It was a nightmare, but unrelated note. Yeah, it has been a bird-heavy campaign, you're right.
I love what this is doing for you, not having a mic stand.
I do. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but...
Wait,
are
you just holding it? Yeah. No way.
I've also taken it upon myself to remove my mute switch, because I feel like I'm the only one who is responsible enough to not breathe, cough, crunch, or, like, breathe heavy into the microphone. Everybody else is just really, really bad with it. And 12-gauge specifically is really, really bad with it. I literally had to take him to the boot camp. I don't know if you guys know this. 12-gauge isn't allowed any crunchy snacks at the table. I banned it. They come every single week with
we
gummy
don't do
worms
snacks
and
too
shit.
Much.
It's on recording somewhere. It was one of the earlier sessions. I think it was like session 17. I was just like, yo, that's it. We're like, we're fucking done. I told you guys like 18 times stop crunching because...
Damn, sometimes I thought we were bad.
What they don't understand is that every single time there is a burp into the mic, every single time there is a crunch into the mic, when I edit it, I have to take that out. Yeah, nobody wants to listen to this with headphones on and just hear, like, fucking lip smack and crunch and all this shit. And it takes me fucking time. It already takes me fucking 2 hours to edit a 2-hour episode, and when I have to edit shit out, it takes me even longer. It's a fucking nightmare. Anyway. Oh, God, got my blood pressure all fucked up. After leaving the silt markets, the four of you travel back to your tavern. It's several hours into the night, and the streets of Kincaidine are relatively quiet. The trek back is uneventful, and you find yourselves outside of the tavern. The door, as it has been prior, is held open by a small rock. What do the four of you want to do? Big glass window, like I mentioned before, looks in. You can see a couple people sitting at a bar. You would guess it's late in the night, maybe past midnight, maybe.
I head on in.
Follow? Stepping inside.
Yeah.
I'll tie up the mule. Oh, we don't have it.
Yeah, you guys... Ship. Yep, you're going to pick it up in the morning for the remaining 10 gold. For some reason in my head, because we were making jokes about the cart last session, I thought you were like, yeah, I'll just tie up the cart, let it graze in the field. So yeah, you guys make your way in. You guys go straight upstairs, or hang out, or what do you guys do?
Head around to the bar.
Head around to the bar.
I follow.
Bartender looks up. Same one you've always been interacting with. He looks up at you.
Any food on the menu than that?
No, we just cleared out, fortunately.
Hey.
I can whip you up something in the back, maybe, but otherwise it's going to be breakfast in the morning.
Can I have a water?
Sure, sure thing.
He steps back. Looks like he pours out from a glass jug and puts it in front of you.
I chug it.
How are you all finding the accommodations upstairs?
Pretty good. I wink. Can I have another water, please?
Sure. And he grabs your glass, pours another glass, puts it in front of you.
Rita's not really making eye contact with the bartender. He's just sipping his drink.
Yeah, nobody else is in the bar area?
There's a couple people over there.
Oh, okay.
You kind of look over and...
Do you order a drink at all, or you just...
No, I sat next to him while he's getting waters.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
I actually followed you to the bar.
We're both standing as he gets waters.
There are a couple people here, but first I want to ask Honto and Kree, what are you guys doing?
No, when I'd like to look around. Like, I want to see if there's anything going on.
Yeah, no, after we were walking back, man, I'm still...
Pretty banged up.
I gotta go to bed. Boys, I'll see you in the morning. Scurry up the stairs.
Heading back upstairs. Levi, when you look over at the patrons, there is one specifically that does catch your eye. On the opposite side of the bar, it is a figure that is familiar to you. And Kree, also, as you're looking, you see this same figure. The Adventuring Guild member that you have interacted with prior, known as Dogs.
Mm.
Shiny silver armor, which his helmet is off and sitting on another stool next to him. It looks like he is nursing a drink. Does not notice you immediately, but drinks nonetheless, quietly and softly almost. There's a couple other people in here. None that catch your eye, none that seem particularly drunk or rambunctious or anything like that. But much as I mentioned prior, it does seem like the people at this bar are more than likely Adventuring Guild members in some capacity.
No, if he's finished with his water, I get ready to head back up.
I head back up too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to sleep as well.
Heading back upstairs, making your way up to your rooms, anything that you guys do before you bed down for your third night's rest?
No.
Hit the hay. Rip up the bed some more, baby.
What's the room split? If I remember correctly, it's Rook and Kree. Okay. Sleep takes you, and you awake in the morning to the sun shining through the window. 7 days remain in your long rest. Now, I want to let you guys know, if at any point you guys come to a consensus and say, we're okay with a couple days passing with us kind of doing nothing, we don't have to roleplay every single day. If you say just for, you know, the sake of doing stuff, you know, for the next 2 days, I just kind of want to maybe wander around town, see if I can pick up any rumors. If I want to go work somewhere, if I want to do this, if I want to do that, that's kind of how I'm treating the long rest. We don't have to roleplay every single day if you guys don't want to get bogged down in it, if you guys, you know, feel like it's, you know, this looming thing. But just to kind of make that clear that I'm cool with time skips if that's the consensus of the table at any point. 4 days remain.
Okay, 4 days remain.
I got scared for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess we can all, like...
Shit, sorry.
Everyone has, like, something they want to sort of say they want to do. Right?
Yeah,
like, during
yeah,
the 4 days.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
What's up to you guys?
Well, yeah, we could do... You do nothing if you don't want to, but...
Yeah.
Well,
I
know. Like, I want to read the fuck out of my book.
Do you guys want to skip 4 days?
Yeah.
I mean, if we could just talk, yeah, just
yeah,
really
like
what we want to do.
I would like to do one or two things. Or should, like, you
yeah,
do
yeah,
so
yeah, we'll just saying, like,
well,
say a couple
so
things.
What,
and just
what
go.
We'll kind of do is we'll expedite the days. I'll go, all right, that first day goes by. What do you guys want to do on the first day? Oh, I want to stop by a shop and do that. Okay. Guys, get back, rest next day. You know, we can do it like that. It's up to you guys. Or we could role play every day. Motherfucker, you wake up. That's what happens.
To be fair, I mean, we can go through like 2 days and then go see Halfpence. I do want to see a motherfucker before we leave.
Yeah. Yeah, we could... I could do that. I want to, I take out this list again.
Yeah.
We're in our room, right? I need to... think about the people on this list. I know one. I might know others somehow. Those maps.
He has not sketched those yet.
Can I take 20 minutes to do a gen of these?
Yes.
On a paper in my notebook.
Yep. What are you writing these with?
Of these, I assume it's like black chalk. Like he has.
I was gonna say charcoal.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has a thing
because
of just black
ink
chalk.
Is
it's fucking
yeah.
It's not.
Expensive.
It's after last week. It's not ink. Yeah. It's a chalk drawing.
Yeah. Okay.
So, at some point in the day when he has this, I also want to try my best to, and I guess if I need to get help too from people, seek out help from whoever, identify where the Sandvel Peaks are and the bog is.
Based off of those maps that you were given?
Yeah, yeah, because I see Kincaidine, like reasonably as Honto, I think. I see Kincaidine. And I'm like, okay, so we're here, and I've seen the other two maps, right, of, like, the map of Kincaidine and the Grand Erg. So
yep.
I'm like, okay, I know where I'm at. Where did I come from? I know I came on a journey here, kind of trying to orient myself.
So, okay, you're beginning that process.
Yep. Oh, wait, this is this?
Yes.
It's
yeah,
this?
Yeah, so look at, see this cutout right here? That's that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
This is of closer Sarninia.
Yes.
Got
well,
it.
Okay. It's disputed, like, it seems like, right? Look how this extends out further than this, and then...
The maps warrant
yeah.
some exploration.
Yeah. If you, like, really study it, they don't... The geometry of it lines up, but the borders don't exactly line up.
Yes.
Well, pulling out the map that I had from before, can I try to see where on this... Is it here? No. Can I try to pinpoint from the map of Kincaidine? Shit. Where exactly we are on that point? Yeah,
wait.
Just, I guess, down in the...
Huh.
I'm gonna have to make a judgment call and specifically say that I'm not gonna be able to give you any information on that map that you guys aren't able to extrapolate as players.
Fair enough. Yeah, then I hand over my drawings of maps to him.
I'm still gonna be able to investigate where the peaks are, right? That's
absolutely.
Okay,
that's
okay.
That's independent.
Okay.
So, let's take this day by day then.
Mm-hmm.
So for this first day... What's everyone doing other than Honto?
Is there a place at the guild where we would get mail or, like, letters? Is there a...
You're not sure. You could definitely ask and
okay.
find out, but you're not sure.
That is what I want to do today.
Rook, you're just reading?
Yeah, I want to read the book. Could we say that sometime in this rest, like, I... talk to the mule, or would you want that to be like a...
You can do whatever you guys want. You guys haven't picked up the mule. Mule's all the way back at the silt markets. It's a decent ways away.
I'll just read, and then I'll wait for us to go.
Gotcha. Kree, anything that you're doing this first day?
I want to see if there is...
You know what? Let's actually... I'm sorry. Let's peel it back even further. We'll say until midday, what are you guys doing? And then we can pick up from there. I'm still navigating how we're going to do it like this, but I think that might be a little bit more natural.
I want to go around town and see if there's any way or how much maybe money I could make, you know, being a proficient mason with my mason's tools, if there's any kind of trade or anything going on there.
Okay. All right. So to start off, you know, this first day's rest, Honto, how are you going about this? Are you just examining the maps with a level of scrutiny?
Yeah, but I also at some point want to go back to the, well, I guess the inn we're staying in, because there's Adventurers Guild people that are there, but also
mm-hmm.
the guild hall.
Yeah.
Just kind of probe some people that seem like they're just chilling there.
Yeah.
You're an adventurer.
with just
the peaks?
Strictly in mind to find out where the peaks are. So you begin...
And, like, a route from, you know, like, how would I get to the peaks? How did I get, sort of?
Yeah.
And, like, do I remember, like, I came there, do I remember certain things on my journey here? Sort of, like, oh, that's, I definitely went through this region kind of thing.
So you would, you begin going through that process, and I think it would take you a decent amount of time to kind of piece it back together. First of all is to orient yourself on that map. The one map that covers some of the regions, you know that, or are able to extrapolate that that map of those regions between, you know, the other one that kind of lays out Grand Urg, the Cradle, Kincaidine, you'll see stuff like that. That is just, like, close location-wise, as if that's, like, strictly one quarter of northern Tassinia. Now, that other map that outlines coverage, spheres of influences for royal families, first of all, that only covers five royal families. You understand that that is, there are seven in total. And you're also able to extrapolate that this map that covers different claims of the royal families only covers the northern part of Tassinia. So you would imagine that the Sandvale Peaks, which split Tassinia in half, are right at the very bottom.
Right here.
Yeah. Okay. And going back, piecing it together, you know, a lot of travel that took place for you, you would know that the route that you took was actually along the eastern coast. So you followed up through the Sandvale Peaks, made your way through Kaida, or maybe skirted along the side of it, up towards Huel Sea, and eventually straight up to Kincaidine, passing through three major towns, maybe stopping in a smaller village here or there, but nothing that really sticks in your mind as memorable or notable.
Okay.
Cree. Walking around, you're able to gather some information on earning money as a mason. The one thing that you find is there is a man who's sitting off by, you know, this kind of half-made, almost like sandstone brick fence, almost. And kind of step up, you're in your cloak, inquire about it. And he mentions to you, he says, "We would typically be looking for gifted stonemasons for the expansions on Betinka, but they've put a halt on it due to an attack. So, unfortunately, we're unable to hire any more laborers until that is sorted out."
Oh, that is terrible news. Well, you may keep me in mind if you'd like to. If you change your mind, or if things change, I'll be at the Adventurers Guild. So, for the next few days.
Only respite I could give you is some of my laborers have made their way to the Drift to repair some homes there. Freelance work, going door to door, fixing roofs and holes and things of that nature. Perhaps you could
How
try
far
your
is
luck.
That?
You had to pass through that to get to Talverna.
Oh,
it's probably
yeah.
about a day's travel, maybe like 3/4 of a day's travel.
Okay. Okay.
Rook, in your reading of this book, and you feel like you have covered a lot of it, and now you're almost at the point where you're like going back and rereading things because you got new context from like later chapters in the book. There's a lot of information in here. Now, what I said before is that this book basically covers this guy's his name's Elwyn Delode, exploration of the different druidic tribes of Tassinia. Now, he has a lot of notes of a lot of different tribes. The title of the book is 1,000 Tribes of Moss and Sand. There are a couple that do stick out to you. And now with more context from, like I said, later chapters in the book, a couple of them do come to mind as being particularly noteworthy, these tribes. The first one is the Circle of the Worm. Now, this druidic circle was mentioned at one point when you guys were first doing investigations into the sigil for the Circle of the Vultures. One passage in here sticks out to you just as relating to your experiences so far in Kincaidine and Tassinia as a whole. It says, "Although unnamed, there exist several druidic tribes across Ticinia, which are centered on the worship of one or many dragons. Typically, these circles are inhabited by only dragonborn or kobolds. But a traveler may infrequently encounter a druidic clan of any other humanoid race that worship or otherwise are involved with a live dragon. The dragons which these circles are centered on are typically ancient aged dragons. And these circles' motivations and alignments may vary as wide as the dragons they are involved with. The other entry that sticks out to you, and just like, almost like unsettling, and specifically for Rook, almost like a culture shock. It is a section on the Darmond Corpse Farmers. D-A-R-M-O-N-D. Darmond Corpse Farmers. It says, the Al-Fatir, otherwise referred to as the Darmond Corpse Farmers, are a truly despicable sect of druids, infamous for using the corpses of murdered victims to farm various mushrooms. Water is scarce in northern Ticinia, and in places where it never rains, such as the village of Darmond, people looking to survive here have to find unique ways. These corpse farmers will murder unsuspecting travelers, string their corpses up, and infect them with various spores, farming mushrooms for eating, poison making, or mushrooms for hallucinogenic rituals. They will often sell these mushrooms, and those who cannot afford the mushrooms are always welcome to purchase the maggots instead.
That's fucking crazy. Holy shit.
Just something that sticks out as, like I said, like culture shock to Rook. Yeah.
That's fucking wild.
Following up that...
And where are they from? I'm sorry.
It says the village of Darmond. D-A-R-M-O-N-D. The next section that you kind of find yourself, you know, specifically picking up on, and this is just strictly, I'm taking this as an angle of things that would be interesting to Rook specifically as he's going through this. Myconids. Myconids, also known as fungus ones and fungus folk, are a race of ambulatory bipedal fungal creatures. They're most commonly encountered deep beneath the ground or in the warm, moist climate of southern Ticinia. These myconids, although not expressly druidic in nature, do tend to carry druidic tendencies in their culture and often attract druids and druidic circles in places they inhabit.
Myconids. How do you spell that?
M-Y-C-O-N-I-D-S.
M-Y-C-O-N-I-D-S. Myconids.
The fungus last entry in this book is titled My Way. The life of a My Way begins as a plant rooted in the earth, their consciousness magically linked to the soil from which they sprout from. As time passes, they develop appendages, a sign of maturity among their kind. As they grow and become mobile, they take on responsibilities within their community, deepening their connection to both their people and the world they inhabit. The race of My Way will always hold a distinct connection to nature and druidy, but not all My Way call themselves druids. A selection of My Way who live in the place where the cactus flowers bloom do participate in druidic practices such as wild shaping, but do not have any name or group to separate themselves from typical My Way. These My Way and druids focus much more deeply on the flora of nature, preferring spells such as speak with plants, plant growth, and commune with nature. The last sentence in this paragraph, the last sentence in this book, upsets you. Typically speaking, My Way are a simple folk and do not possess a high level of intelligence, and their status as a civilized race is up for debate.
Write that down. Motherfuckers. They'll see, goddammit.
Like I mentioned, as a whole, this book does outline different information regarding druidic practices, wild shaping, stuff like that. Anything else that you're doing for that first, you know, morning?
No. No, that's good for him. It's a lot to take in.
But you feel like you've completed the book. And like I said, this is more so like throughout the entirety of reading this book. Yeah. Like you didn't just take all that in this morning. Right. Levi, what are you doing?
Looking at the guild to see if there is a
mail
drop.
Walking into the guild hall, you are actually greeted at the front. Not so much greeted, but you see at the front Brewster standing there as you walk in, just kind of gives you a nod. It looks like he's speaking with another guild member. You're not sure, but they quickly wrap up the conversation and he steps up to you.
How you making out?
I'm thinking pretty good. Just setting up, getting out of here in a couple days, but should be good.
You're able to meet with us on?
Yeah. Saw him over at the inn.
Good. What brings you in now?
Seeing if we got mail anywhere around here. I told people back home I was coming here. I didn't know they had to send me things. Maybe a little good luck. Seeing if anything came around.
I can take a look, but typically mail that comes in, we keep it over by the clerk.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Step away?
Yeah, to the clerk.
Okay, stepping up to the clerk. Waiting in line. A couple people go ahead of you, trading in different furs and skins and stuff. And the clerk looks up. Same clerk you've been interacting with all these times before with the map and all that stuff. Hello.
Hey, how's you today?
Good.
I was wondering if me or any of my fellow party members had any mail that came through?
Sure. Could I get some names?
Leviticus Kane. Ah, I think we've had the pleasure.
Right.
I should stick out my hand.
And she kind of like looks at it, and like the way that the clerk thing is set up is there's like a grate and like a small slit down at the bottom.
But stick out the hand so it's not like a handshake. It's like I'm down cupping my hand like I want the top of her hand.
Yeah, and she kind of like awkwardly kind of puts it out and puts it on top. I'll go take a look. Quickly scutters off. A few moments pass before she returns.
I don't have anything for a Leviticus Kane.
A Cree? Anybody else in my party?
I don't know who your party
Honto.
Is.
A Honto? Ma'am?
Okay.
You've not seen us in here?
I have. I don't know you. I'm sorry. I interact with 100 people every day.
She gives you like a smile. Cree?
Honto.
How do you spell that?
K-R-E-E.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Honto, you said?
Yeah.
H-O-N-T-O,
baby.
I love Torello, and she runs off. Comes back. No. Nothing there.
I guess. Shot in the dark. A rook?
Rook. Okay. Scutters off again. Comes back. No.
Thanks for your help, sugar.
Are you registered as a party?
I put it up to the window.
I mean your group. Registered as a official party.
Yeah, we're Adventuring Guild number 4.
Okay. If you'd like, I could put in some paperwork to have that any mail come in, send somebody to have a notification for you.
Sounds great.
Okay, where are you staying? Are you nearby, or...?
We're nearby for now, but we're all over. Down the inn, down around the rest of the world.
Okay, tell you what, any mail comes in for the four of you, I'll just put it to the side, okay?
Oh, it's been my pleasure today.
Okay.
Tip the hat, walk out.
Kind of, you see her like kind of just like look down, like looking at her shoes as you walk away, making your way back out.
Yeah, back to the inn.
So that morning passes, midday comes. You guys are all in various states. Cree, what do you do for? After you have that conversation about the masonry work.
Damn, I really want to. Try to find a way to make money. could I look around for any small jobs, like, in the area? Like, I don't want to leave for a day and then not, like, be with these guys or let them know. Any postings or anything?
On your way back, because essentially the route that you took your way, like, towards Baitinko, and essentially that's the road that splits off down to the dock, you do see multiple postings for dock workers needed.
I'll grab the first one I see.
Dock workers requested at the Lazarette.
Second one I see.
Dock workers requested at length of Royal Sarninian family.
I'll go to the Lazarette. Well, I'll take the Lazarette one.
You take it with you?
Yeah, and I'll go back and hang out with the guys.
Okay. Levi, do you go back out of the Adventurers Guild?
Yeah, go back to the inn.
Okay. So, safe to say, probably maybe around, like, a little bit after high noon, sun is starting to creep its way at, like, three quarters of the way in the sky, and the four of you are reconvened. What do you guys do?
Are we supposed to pick up the cart and meal today?
Yeah, we can,
Is it today job?
We can go over there.
Yeah?
Sure.
All four of you leave?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Four of you, quickly enough, make your way to the silt markets. I did mention last session that the trek to the silt markets is actually kind of long. It takes you maybe like 2 or 3 hours to actually get there. And as you do make your way there, there are still these open air shops. It's a bazaar. A lot of people selling a lot of stuff. I mentioned a lot of it last session, but just making your way through as you're making your way down and over to the stables, you pass all sorts of rations, people selling water skins, you know, people selling clothes, sandals, scarves, hoods, all sorts of stuff. Eventually, you do make your way back to the stables, a mirror that you can see. And like I mentioned, these stables last time, essentially it's like a barn with the top half cut off and there's the different stables set up. You see mules, you see the horses, you see the pen full of dogs, and you see a mirror, and you see your cart. Attached to the end of your cart is a black mule. Amir seems to be just milling about as you approach, and he opens up the pen, steps outside, approaches you guys. Glad to see you all.
The cart looks wonderful.
Yes, it was a simple alteration, but the reins are attached. I've put in a seat right at the front, so whoever would be handling the mule would sit up front. It's got enough room for anyone else in the back. Cargo may be a little difficult to carry, but I'm sure you will find a way.
Well, I'm sure of it.
I've prepared a bill of sale for the 20 gold. It mentions the mule, and it mentions the alterations to the cart, which I have written up as a repair. 20 gold. You've already paid 10, and he kind of sticks out what looks like a piece of parchment.
Take it.
Looks like a detailed bill of sale.
Count out 5.
Is this a second payment? What?
Me and you paid yesterday.
Yeah.
The two of them will.
Okay, that's right, that's right.
Just the remaining 10.
I hand him the 5.
Yeah, I'll give him 5 too.
Okay. Well, it was a pleasure doing business with you. If the mule gives you any problems, bring it in. And I'm sure we can work something out. Do you have any questions about the alterations or the mule or anything?
How often do we feed them?
Ideally, once a day. Or you could let them graze if you find a field. But they are rare in the Grand Erg where you go. Even here, they are rare.
Okay.
Closer to the coast, you may find some patches of seagrass. I'm sure he will eat it.
Perhaps we'll have to follow the coast. I don't know.
I'm sure we will be fine. We are with your brother. He seems like an experienced traveler.
He is, yes.
All right, well, it's been a pleasure. I hope to see you soon.
Yes.
Is there anything you want us to relay to your brother?
Just wish him luck. That's all. He knows where to find me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Farewell. You guys make your way out.
Mm-hmm.
Mule in tow with your cart. And like he mentioned, and it is the case, there's almost like a raised seat near the front where the, you know, tack of the mule, which has like the reins set up. Right where they end in like a loop where you can hold the reins, there is a seat for actually, you know, holding the reins of the mule itself and the cart itself behind.
Can I hold the reins?
I'm basically asking who's driving this motherfucker.
I'm driving the bus. I'm driving the fucking bus.
It's an the cart is.
Does animal handling help?
Yes. There's not like. There's no cover. Yeah. No. Getting up on the horse.
Getting up on the fucking mule on the ass.
Okay. Getting up on the mule, sitting up on that chair, and you got to kind of maybe squeeze a little bit to get comfortable, holding the reins in your hand, and it seems to be reactive to you in a way, obedient. Pull the rein left, it goes left. Pull the rein right, it goes right. And you're able to kind of turn them around, begin making your way out of the silt markets. Are you guys heading back to the tavern or somewhere else?
I mean, it's getting, by the time we get back, it's going to be pretty late in the day.
You would
right?
imagine so, yeah. It'd probably be nightfall by the time you get back.
Yeah, just get back.
Mm-hmm. Cool with that.
So, as you guys hit the cobbled streets of Kincaidine, the mule's feet begin to clop, 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 clop. Is everybody sitting in the back?
I am.
No. I'm walking alongside. On all fours.
I'm in Rook's pouch.
In an analysis of the burden and stress of weight that this mule is under, you have a feeling that it could support all of your weight with no added cargo. You have a feeling if you push it, put another person on, add some cargo, it might give the mule some problems, but it seems like a strong-backed mule.
I wanted to refrain from asking this because it's just techie, but what is the speed of this setup weighted? Like
25 miles a day.
I guess if I'm
in
already,
combat?
No. Well, no, not in combat, but like how I understand like of exhaustion, but just purely keeping up with the speed of the wagon, like that's possible just to walk alongside it for anyone at a normal pace. Like if you got off the wagon, walked for a mile alongside of it and got in, like that's, it's not like blazing past. Like
you have a naturally high movement speed, correct?
Yes. It's 40 right now.
Yes, absolutely. You would have no problem with it.
Yeah.
You have the feeling if they keep the pace that they're going and anyone else walks alongside it, it may be a bit of an issue.
And I get the whole like walking 25 miles a day is crazy.
Yeah.
But just for keeping pace.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You. I'll walk. You yeah. can keep pace.
I'll totally, if we're doing a 3-hour walk, yeah, I'm walking.
Yep. Okay. Any other questions about the setup with this mule? Please pick my brain if you have any specific questions.
So he wants us to feed it grass. He suggested we feed it grass and we're in a desert. So
you have what do not we do? You have not seen much grass in your travels.
Grass isn't the only thing the donkey's gonna eat, right?
Donkey will eat fucking
be
anything.
Be fucking anything you give it, right?
Yes.
Just
including
we'll be all right.
Cactus. Possibly your own rations.
Right. Maybe cactus. Not unless I talk him out of it.
There
is there non-sentient cactus? Cacti?
Yes.
Okay.
There's normal cactus.
Okay.
There is one thing that you... Never mind.
Blah, 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 blah.
I sucked it back up. Crazy, I sucked dude. It back up.
Head it back to the inn.
Back to the inn. Night does fall as you approach the inn with your new mule in tow. Park the car?
Yes.
book.
Tie up the mule. Tie up the cart. Lock it. Put the brakes on. Pull the e-brake. You guys make your way in.
Good to take the keys out of the ignition. Yeah.
Make your way inside. What are you guys doing?
Can I go up to the bar?
Up to the bar.
And can I... Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Do you have any fruit?
Have
you been getting apples?
Yes, yeah, I got some apples, some bananas, sure. Kind of.
What are the chances you have a carrot back there?
Carrot? Let me take a look. He looks, walks in the back, comes back out. He's got this white thing in his hand. He goes, I got a turnip.
I'll take it.
Sure. Hands it out to you.
Is it free?
He hands it to you. What do you do?
Grab it.
Grab it? Hey, listen. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to overstep. The fruit's complimentary. You guys have been asking.
The turnip is not.
No. You can take the turnip. But the way that we structure our tavern, you guys are welcome for free breakfast, bowl of fruit when you rent the room. But I can't be handing out free stuff all the time. My mom will kill me.
Alright, what did he give me? Just a turnip?
He gives you a turnip and as he finishes it, he has another bowl, like one of those big wooden bowls with some apples and bananas in it.
Nice. Alright, tell me how much this would be at like a market or something like that. Like,
well,
how much...
you know, when you were going through to like through the silt markets, probably based off of like the figs that you saw him buy and the mm-hmm. dates and stuff, maybe like 5 silver.
Damn, that much? Alright. I give him 5 silver.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I go outside. To the mule.
Levi, Honto, what are you guys doing?
I'm going to, while he's down there, I'll go into the room alone and meditate.
Begin some meditation.
I follow him into the room. I want to finish my hat.
Finish knitting your hat?
Mm-hmm.
Creep.
Fucking hat.
I want to go up into the room and I want to give the flyer one more look, but then I just want to go to bed.
Okay.
So is that all it says? Is like dock worker needed at the Lazarus?
Help wanted, Lazarus, dock worker, no experience necessary. Ask for half pence.
Jesus Christ. Does it say gold?
No, it does not. It does not have any kind of monetary thing listed.
Would you just take the whole flyer?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't like one of those perforated one where it's like take a slip and it's got like a phone number on the back. He just fucking took the whole flyer.
Yeah. Okay, I go to bed.
I go to bed now.
Sleepy, sleepy.
Yeah.
So first, I want to touch on Honto and your meditation. This is the first time you're meditating since what's happened. You're beginning the process of trying to achieve that state. There are 2 rooms that you guys rented. Are you going into the room with Cree in it or the room with Levi in it?
No, when I went up first and I shut the door behind me.
Okay. Private room for meditation.
Yeah.
Okay. You're beginning that process. Window open or closed?
I'll crack it.
Okay. You're beginning that process. Stepping outside with your turnip.
Yeah, I go up to the mule.
Go up to the mule.
And I give him a pet.
Roll animal handling.
Wow.
Very naturally, almost in a... as if you've known this mule your whole life. He doesn't flinch, doesn't shake, doesn't do anything. Almost kind of like rubs up against the bristly thorns of your hand.
He doesn't feel it.
and I want to like put the turnip near his face and give it to him.
Begins crunching on it.
And I don't know how, like, how exactly does this whole talking to the animals thing? I know they're not that intelligent. They can kind of just give me, like, a yes or no answer kind of thing. Or, like, a vibe.
Alright. What does the wording in the book say?
Oh, boy.
Because this is specifically from your circle that you chose.
Yeah. You learn to speak, read, and write Sylvan. In addition, beasts can understand your speech, and you gain the ability to decipher their noises and motions. Most beasts lack intelligence to convey or understand sophisticated concepts, but a friendly beast could relay what it has seen or heard in the recent past. This ability doesn't grant you any special friendships with beasts, you can combine this ability with gifts to blah, 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 blah. That shit don't count.
What's the name of this ability?
This is Speech of the Woods.
Speech of the Woods. Let me just take a look at this.
Go right ahead, my friend.
Because I have my own understanding of this, and to be completely honest with you, I don't really care what the book says. Fuck it. You know what? I'm calling it. Do you invoke that ability? Moment passes. The mule finishes chewing.
That was good.
I know. I like the apples myself, and I give him one.
You give him the apple, mm-hmm. And takes it really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the bird guy gave me.
Did you like the bird guy?
Yeah, he was nice.
You ever hear him talk about his brother?
No.
Have you been there your whole life?
Yeah. I was born there. Me and my other brothers.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been on any long journeys before? Or just all the time at the stable?
Oh, I never left the stable.
We're going on a long journey.
Okay.
What's your favorite food?
That apple was good.
I'll have more where that came from. And I give him a pet and I go inside.
Walk back in. Decipher the motions and...
Yeah, I don't know.
No, you can talk to animals. I don't give a fuck.
Right on.
Essentially what I'm treating that as is... At will, you can cast Speak with Animals. Because I like what Speak with Animals does. I like the limitations that it has. I like that kind of stuff. So I'll treat it. It's a Circle of the Shepherds thing. You can cast At will, Speak with Animals. I don't give a fuck.
Cool.
Back
inside. Going inside with the rest of my bowl.
Meditation.
Can't give them everything all at once.
It's odd. And it's strange, and the things that you would often have hang-ups with in order to reach a meditative state are no longer hang-ups, but almost as if there's different hang-ups in different places, if that makes sense. It's easier to cut out the noise around you. It's easier to cut out the feelings around you. The space between you and the air around you fades quickly, and that's something you've kind of always struggled with. But there's like this weight there. And you realize that it is something else. I'm being purposefully vague because this is the first time you're meditating since what has happened. There is something else here.
Like a third party.
I wouldn't even say a third party, but almost another appendage of yourself in this. You cannot shake the feeling that something is wrong. As if a pot is boiling on the stove, and it isn't boiling over, but it's getting there. And it's very hard to describe this feeling. These meditative stances, for you, typically... take a while to get to, require absolute silence. But not this time. You get there in a snap, quickly. But you find it hard to stay there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
As if you are trying and squeezing to stay on the monkey bar while your hands are slipping. Before, it was hard for you to even get on the monkey bars to begin with, but once you were there, you could hang on there for forever. You slip out, you can't focus, shake your head, look around the room. Try again, much the same. Eventually, you find yourself just sitting there with your eyes closed. What do you do?
Fuck it, I'll just go open the door.
Open the door, probably right as Rook is walking up.
And I see him?
Just for a second, he opens the door.
Okay. I guess I just look at you, and I just go off to my room.
Yeah, I just stare. I don't see anything.
Open the door to see Cree asleep, Levi knitting.
Where's the hat going?
I finished with a pom-pom, like a little spout of yarn on top for a ball. Looks like it's all about done.
Can I try it on?
Of course you can, big fella.
Throw it on. How do I look?
I assume... Did you ever see the one of those... They were like early 2000s where people had those like rubbery caps that gave them the spikes that came out of their hair.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like the fake spikes hair.
Oh, my God. That was buried in my memory.
So, wait. This thing's like a winter-type hat, right?
Yeah, but it's out of yarn, and I made it myself. So, there's a good amount of like little gaps in
it
there.
It's like warm. Is it comfy or is it itchy?
It's itchy.
Okay. I don't say that.
It's comfy.
Roll deception. Levi, roll insight.
Fuck.
11.
Shit. 8.
He thinks it's comfy.
Right on. Alright. I take it off, though, and I give it back.
Thanks, buddy. He got the door open over there?
Yeah. Our mule? He's never been on any journeys before.
Hey, hell. I ain't been on anything like we're about to go on either, so, new for both of us. You?
Well, I came here from the hometown, you know, it was a long trek.
Yeah, but I think this one's gonna be a little different.
Yeah, it might be.
Rest up, big fella.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks, bud.
I'm gonna try not to rip up the bed. I don't want Cree to get mad or...
Can I look over at
fall
the bed?
In.
Torn to shreds.
How's Cree sleeping in this?
He's falling in.
I don't think you slept on the bed, right? You sleep on the floor?
Oh, yeah. I'm right. Like in the corner.
You sleep. Huddle up in the corner. Fucking weirdo. Exactly. All right, lay down.
Over to your room?
Yeah.
Okay. Honto's in there. Two of you. Everybody bed down. Any conversations that happen before you guys go to sleep? Anything there?
No,
I'm good.
So ends the fourth day of your rest. Going to bed, waking up in the morning. What do you guys want to do today?
Terrorism.
No, Chad.
Light terrorism.
We need to figure out our food situation for the trip. For the mule, more so than ourselves.
Yeah, hell, I mean, is there a like a how's our fruit bowl looking?
Dire straits.
I pour the rest of it into my bag.
Two oranges.
Pour the rest of my bag and kind of push the fruit bowl like towards the front of the door, like, hey, we need more fucking fruit.
Okay.
Hey, I paid up. You'd think he would continue to hook it up with the fruit.
I want to try to, I guess, seek out some type of shop or something. That's the best thing to do. I want to investigate hunting, you know, tools and equipment. And then I want to, like, at, you know, if there's, like, a shopkeep or something, I want to talk to someone about the area of
hunting. Right. What do you guys want to do? Are you going to shops, like, in the city?
Dude, I don't really... Hunto doesn't really know. Like, he's
Is there kind of shops that aren't in the city, or we have to kind of go?
We didn't see anything like that at the Silt Markets, right? Like, not even...
Thinking back on it, maybe some... I mean, hunting is... a broad term. Hunting is actually a narrow term, so this idea of some sort of hunting store would probably be something specialty that you'd have to find. So you would imagine that if there was a specialty shop, it would probably be in the Silt Markets, maybe around town somewhere, but you know that there's a lot of weird and exotic stuff that you saw in the Silt Markets. Maybe something might be there.
There wouldn't be like a big pyramid with, like, hunting supplies or anything? Like, maybe, like, Bass Pro Shop or nothing?
Oh, the Pass Bro Shop? Yeah, you have the feeling if you're looking for a specialty hunting shop, Silt Markets would probably be a good bet. Anyone else? Something that you want to do in the morning?
I'd also, if I see Hanto, like, just making his way, like, relatively towards... town, right? Like towards a market, the markets, whatever. I'd like to follow, and I'm gonna look for rations to buy.
Okay. Either you two.
I guess I'll buy more rations.
Yeah, I'm gonna look for rations places too.
So, for the most part, all four of you guys are making your way around looking for various shops.
I think I'm over anything. Instead of cheap rations, I want to try to make money right now.
How so?
I want to try to head towards the city. And I want to find a group of kids. Not children, a little older. Teenage, preteen. They're having fun.
Okay. That's going to be separate. That's its own fucking thing.
Levi Tillman as motherfucker.
Levi Tillman. You nasty bitch.
I'm looking for cheap rations. I'm going to go up to... I'm going to go and use my market skills.
How so? What do you do?
Are we at the market?
Yeah, I imagine you guys are at the market, or maybe even before you go to the market, or you say, when we get to the market, I want to do this.
Is this all humans?
Or no, it's a decent mix of races.
I want to look out for any specific, maybe more generous races, if there's any that I know of. Maybe that I would know tend to make deals.
Your experience so far is that typically the monstrous races tend to cut better deals strictly because they are oftentimes not welcome in certain more civilized areas. So
I'm being racist, I'm staying away from humans.
Okay, so go ahead and roll just like a general, say, perception check for me to try to single out vendors that you think, you know, would be more... 12. Apt to cut better deals. Success. You're able to kind of navigate your way down. You see a half-orc that's there. And it looks like he has a series of, like, pickled jars that he has for sale.
Okay.
Hanto, are you still with him at this point?
No. I'm going to be... Specifically to try and find hunter trappers, I'm going to try and seek out, you know, a smith... masonry, whatever it is, making, you know, doing metal work, and then those are the people I want to inquire about, you know, traps, you know, something of that nature.
Okay. Right. Kree, what are you doing during all this?
I want to find, like, a very busy, like, not just street path, whatever, and I want to cast Silent Image. It's not expending a spell slot. I want to cast Silent Image to make like a beautiful human woman on the side of the, I'm just on the side of the road kneeling down. And I want to drop, I want to have it like, I want to put like a fucking hat there or something. I want to fucking take my hood off and I want to put it in front of her. And I want her to have a sign on her chest that says spare change. And I want to be 60 feet away from her and I just want to watch.
Wow.
Right on. Fucking all right. Crazy.
So what
can
what,
I gift him a point of inspiration what, for that idea?
What I will say is, okay, I need you to roll deception for me.
Okay.
Diabolical work.
I'm gonna use inspo.
Evil man, dude.
For this.
That's crazy. He's a pimp. He's a pimp.
14.
14, you see this, and you're kind of standing off, watching this silent image just stay there. This guy walks past, human, wearing nicer-looking silk clothes. He's got a belt on, and there's like a dagger hanging off of the belt. He kind of stops, takes a look, reads the sign, drops a couple coins in, and it looks like he's talking to it.
Okay.
Split second. Okay. What do you do?
Fuck. With silent image, I can move her. I can't make her talk, but I can move her. So I just wanna just put my hands up, like thank you, and then just bye, and just try and wave bye. And that's it.
What the fuck?
I'm rolling. It looks like he says something else. He gets down on one knee.
He does. As he gets down on one knee, I make her go like this. Put her finger up and just be like, wait. And then I say, give me more. With my hand, I'm like, give me more.
Roll another deception check.
20.
18.
Close enough.
You see this figure look at your silent image, look back down at the hat, look back down at the silent image, put some more coins in, and then says something else.
I want to cast Prestidigitation on my silent image, and I want to soil the ground underneath her in like rotten shit and piss.
Would casting Prestidigitation break your concentration?
It's a cantrip and it's an action, so fuck, you're probably right.
Pissing shit all over the floor.
Shit. Yeah, no, fuck it. I don't want to cast it. She's just going to sit there silently as he talks to her.
Well, no. Prestidigitation doesn't require concentration. I think you should be able to cast it without breaking concentration.
I don't think you can cast additional things while you're already concentrating. Well,
no, you just can't concentrate on two spells at once.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah, I want to have her shit her pants.
Cool.
I want to have her shit her pants.
Making another roll.
Yeah, I don't think it does.
Figure stands up, looks over at it, and kicks it. And his foot goes through it and hits the wall, and then he kind of like steps back and looks at it for a second. Begins looking around. Starts to reach down towards the hat.
I cast Prestidigitation again. And fuck.
The fuck, dude?
Split second.
Oh my god.
Split second. What are you doing?
I cast Prestidigitation and make like a firework like pop, like right behind his ear, and I sprint towards the money as fast as I can.
Your prestidigitation firework goes off. He reacts to it and begins to run away.
Let's go. All right.
Towards you.
Okay. Yeah, I just like stand and watch like with my hands
he
in my pockets.
Bumps your shoulder and runs past you down and makes a left into an alleyway.
All right, I get rid of her like her shit. And I'll go pick up the money and just leave her there.
For reference, look, I'm not going to split hairs here, but I don't know what the range on prestidigitation is. I don't think it's 60 feet. I'll allow you because it's fun, but
you're right. It's 10 feet.
I will allow it. Keep in mind that I am very generous. You look down into the hat to see two silver pieces.
Pick it up. Take it. All that for fuck yeah.
Congratulations.
Fucking two silver.
Leaving your beautiful woman who looks up at you longingly. Okay. So, Rook, this orc that you were, walked up to, it looks like he's got some pickled canned things in front of him. He looks up at you. Hello.
Hello, sir. I'm looking for rations for a long journey I'm about to go on, and they need to last me a while.
Right, right. How many days are you leaving for?
What's it, a week? How long is it?
You were told 3 weeks.
It's a long journey. Why? Where did that fucking accent
it's
go?
It's a long journey, ACADs.
It's a long journey. A month or so.
A month? Well, that's a lot of rations. Probably be my whole stock I got.
Well, let's not get crazy. I'm not rich.
Well, typically, I forget what voice I had for this.
Yeah,
guy.
I forget what
voice I started with.
It's gonna be this one. Typically, I sell my rations for 5 silver apiece, and those should last you about a day, but if you want a bunch of them, I mean, a month, it's 150 silver, 15 gold. If you're buying in bulk, I might be able to cut it down, but what's your offer?
Well, I have six gold. I have a masonry toolkit too.
What's in it? Let me see.
I show him.
Show him. Kind of takes a look.
Where'd you get this from?
Well, it was gifted to me for healing a friend.
Healing who?
I forget his name.
This guy's a half-orc, right?
The
guys were half-orcs, right?
The guys were half-orcs. This guy, I described him as an orc. He looks a little bit more muscular than half-orcs that you've seen in the past. You think he might be maybe a full orc, maybe three-quarters orc? I don't know.
I don't remember, but he kind of looked like you.
Where was this?
It was up in the salt flats.
His name wasn't Buckets, was it?
Oh, Buckets. Yeah, it was Buckets. Yeah, we ran into him and his people. They were camped out in the salt flats, and he was really badly hurt.
What part of him was hurt?
I think it was his leg.
And he gave you these tools?
Yeah, they fed us for the night, me and my people.
He kind of reaches over and he grabs one of the chisels out of it.
Yeah, that's Tord's chisel. Buckets talked about you. He's my cousin.
Oh, no way, really?
He said a fucking cactus fixed his leg and I didn't believe him.
How many cactuses have you met before me?
None.
Yeah.
He's just kind of like staring at you like slack-jawed almost.
Yeah.
He was a great friend. Really nice.
I thought he was crazy.
No. definitely not crazy. I heal anybody in need.
I owe him an apology.
Yes, you do.
Wow.
Tell him you met me. My name's Rook. Next time you see him.
Rook, Rook, Rook. Well, Rook.
And you know what? You keep that masonry toolkit.
I'd like to trade you.
Well, I need some rations.
You said you had 6 gold?
I got 6 gold.
Okay, okay. Tell you what. I'll give you 20 days worth of rations for 5 gold and a masonry toolkit.
That sounds like a deal to me.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Carl.
Carl, very nice to meet you, my friend.
Yeah.
And it's a pleasure doing business.
You said you're traveling. You're going back to the Salt Flats.
No. This time, to the Grand Erg.
It's dangerous. You should be careful out there.
I've been told. But, you know, the Adventurers Guild, go where the work is.
I'll be careful dealing with the orcs out there. They're not as friendly as us.
Every orc I've met so far has been friendly.
No,
but I'll take that.
Not there.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. Thank you.
Well, good luck.
I appreciate it. You tell Buckets. I said, don't break a leg.
Okay.
So, you essentially got 20 days worth of rations for 5 gold and that masonry toolkit. So, just update your inventory accordingly. I've been dying to get into it, Finn. What are you looking for kids for, kid? What are we doing?
They'll find out.
His pedophile ring.
God. I want to sell one of them.
Or four.
So, just roll me a general perception check to try to find some... Preteens, are we looking for?
Yeah, a good group, a big group.
Actually, I'm on a feeblephile.
Why can't I just, like, talk to children? Is there no good way to talk to children as an adult?
No, there is not.
Yeah, I guess not. What's this role?
Perception to find kids.
Fucking shit. And that one.
No, dude, I, there's no kids out.
There's no kids.
No, it's a fucking school day, dude. They're at school.
Nah, dude, Nat 1 is like the guards come sniff him out because they think he's looking for the kids.
I hang around.
Guard right next to you.
I hang around till, like, is there a school in the area?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't know. You don't know. With a Nat 1, there's
no... Is the guard around me?
He's right next to you, and he's looking at you, and he sees you, like, looking around, like... up and down, and like there's like a little tiny kid with a mom that walks by, and you're kind of like fucking eyeing him down, and the guard's just like looking at you. Hail, citizen.
Hey, how are you doing, sir?
Well, what is your business here?
You happen to know if there's a school around here?
Why?
I'm a magic man, you see. Put up my fingers. And I got this new magic item. I've been seeing if the kiddies are interested.
Get out of here, pervert.
Pervert?
Get out of here, now.
Ah, shit.
It's a Nat 1, Finn. Bag it up. There's no kids today. I'm sorry, Finn.
Fuck.
I'm sorry, Finn.
I'll try for kids tomorrow.
Yeah, try for kids tomorrow, but I don't
leave.
Fucking crazy. Yet. I heard tomorrow's Saturday.
Fuck yeah.
Thank God.
Oh my God.
Kicking a fucking tin can down the road. Just fucking talk to some kids, man. Honto, it is actually not too difficult to eye in on a hunting shop. It takes you a little bit to get there because you'd have to go to a blacksmith, ask some questions there, but eventually you are led to a small shop. Almost as if it's like a stall that's in between two other larger stalls. It looks like it's got this older guy behind there who looks like he's carving something out of wood. A human. And he kind of looks up as you step up. You were told that there's an old man somewhere down the street. He may sell some hunting tools, traps, and stuff like that.
uh,
good afternoon. You have traps, hunting equipment of sorts here, I've heard?
Yes, we sell various traps, cages, tools, snares. What game do you hunt?
Well, to be honest, I don't really hunt. Me and my group of friends, we are going on a journey out to Fort Chasm, and I'm looking for some survival tools to hunt with. Well, I guess first, if you know the area, is that even a spot where it's worth it to bring hunting equipment? And if so, I mean, well, you tell me what I need.
It depends. Have you ever hunted before?
I flick out my paw and say, only with these, not with tools.
Well, it is a difficult endeavor, to be sure. Those who are well trained in where the prey lays, those are those that find success. But survival in the bush, in the desert, the cold nights, it's more than just hunting. It's important to understand where the berries grow, where sources of water can be found, what is edible, what is not. I am a salesman, of course, these are my wares, but I also train travelers on different approaches to survival, foraging, trapping. Would you be interested in that?
Yes, particularly, but like I said, we're going on a journey and I'm in a little bit of a time crunch. So, if you know about the Grand Erg, what I need to know, well, that's what I need to know.
I could give you some tips. I could give you some pointers. Teach you some lessons. But I do charge a fee.
Of course. Or sell me a tool. Whatever you think would be the best.
I can sell you a tool. Snares work well in the Grand Erg. Field mice, snakes, large scorpions if you can find them. But it depends. The beasts out there are difficult. Hyenas. The gnolls, of course, but they...
What is a gnoll?
They are a semi-civilized race. Hyenas who wield weapons, walk, they're vicious. They make hunting difficult, they roam at night. But, as I said, approaching different dens, finding where the prey lies, setting up snare traps, things of that nature, it is beneficial.
How much for a snare trap?
I would charge you 5 silver for pack of 3 of them. The rope does not always hold up under large amounts of pressure. I'll show you how to set it as well.
I may take more than 3, but I like that. That sounds like ideal.
And as I said, if you want guidance on how to hunt in the Grand Erg, I'd be happy to share it with you for a fee. There are tricks and tips.
Sure. What is the fee we are talking about?
1 gold.
Oh. Of course. I flip him 2 gold. And I say, as many traps you can give me and all of your information.
I'll throw in an extra for free. Call it 7 traps. He takes time and he sits down with you. And in this conversation, you come away with 1 thing over all of this. This guy actually knows what he's talking about. He seems very knowledgeable, and you can see it almost as if he is recalling things that he's done before as he's giving you tips and tricks and nuances about hunting specifically in the Grand Erg. This guy's seen a lot of shit. Through this conversation that takes place over the course of, say, like an hour and a half, you come away with, and we're not going to split hairs, I'm not going to get into specifics of exactly what to do, enough knowledge that you feel as though if you were to roll a survival check in the Grand Erg specifically,
to find food or set traps, you would do so with advantage every time.
Cool. Alright, well, I thank him, and that's it.
If you are ever in need of anything else, you know where to find me.
Your name?
Benir.
Benir. My name is Honto.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
I'm sure I'll be seeing you again.
Good luck in the Grand Erg. So, pervert, what do you do after you can't find any kids?
I went into the city. Am I near where they're doing this construction?
Yeah. Well, where they were doing construction.
Where they were.
You see just basically, like, half-built mounds of cobbled-together sandstone bricks.
I don't know where. I don't know how they do it, but, like...
Scaffolding as well.
At, like, yeah, like, construction sites will have, like, those big dumpsters next to it. Do they have, like, a place where it looks like they're, like, dumping the trash?
You see piles of what looks like chunks of rubble.
Can I see if there's any poles in there? Like, something that would hold up the scaffolding? Like, any pieces of it?
Metal?
In this rubble?
Metal?
Yeah, metal.
Roll... I almost just asked you to roll search. Roll an investigation check for me. Are you trying to be conspicuous about this?
No, if it's trash, I'm going to try to take the trash.
Just, like, openly trash picking?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Just roll. Investigation.
Oh, my gosh. This thing's going to go to hell. 8.
Not metal, but you do find some pretty decent wooden dowels that are pretty thick.
I don't know what that is.
Imagine like a banister, those slats.
Yeah, let me grab a couple of them.
Long cylindrical rods that are made of wood.
That works. Let me grab a couple of them. Yeah. As many as I could put under both my arms.
Four good ones that aren't broken, and they're probably about between 2 and 3 feet long.
Yeah, take them.
Okay. Rook, after you buy your rations, anything that you're doing?
No, I think I just try and head back to the tavern.
Cree, anything that you're doing?
No, same deal. Go back to the tavern.
Okay. And Honto, you're going straight back too?
Yeah.
Okay. The four of you reconvene probably a little after midday back at the tavern. I'm imagining, for the sake of brevity, you guys are going up to the rooms. What do you guys do?
Are we all in a room together?
It's up to you guys.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll update everyone that I got hunting tools and advice for the Grand Erg, so... You know, food.
Yeah, I tried some stuff. Maybe better luck tomorrow. And I put my posts in the wagon. And I head inside.
You guys wouldn't believe what happened to me. I went down to the markets. Do you guys remember that half-orc that I healed in Sawflats? His name was Buckets, I forgot. You guys remember?
Yes, they are.
I know you remember. Yeah. I met his cousin. I bought 23 days worth of rations from him. Sorry, 20.
20?
20. Gave me a little bit of a deal. It's 5 gold, 20 days... And the masonry toolkit that Buckets himself gave me.
Wow. I think we are covered on food. No?
Why are people looking at me? Is that how it goes? Does it, like, work for everybody?
Oh, gosh. I always think that rations are individual, to be honest with you. Because each individual pack comes with an amount of rations per person.
No, I mean, we don't have to have all of the rations. Half of the trip is one way, and then we're going to be at the trading post. We have to make it one way. We have more than enough rations to do that, plus the traps. And it seems like we'll be able to get food.
I'm not too worried about it.
The man at the shop seemed confident that we'd be able to get something.
We're in good shape.
Good. And if we really get hungry, we can eat the mule.
But what did you... Wait, what? We will not be eating him.
Well, okay.
We'll be we feeding don't have to eat him. He likes he likes turnips. That's what good. Did you do with your day, Kree?
I made 2 silver. I pull out 2 silver. I made 2 silver. And
what'd you do, beg?
I actually did beg. But I don't really think I will pursue it, but I will show you. And then I pull out the flyer to show this dock worker needed at in Lazarus. You see halfpence. It's work until time to go, but I don't think that I'm going to pursue it.
Perhaps we stop by before we leave for the Erg. At least let him know we're going, and we'll be back in a month's time.
We could.
You guys could. I'll wait outside.
Sorry, is it end of day?
Oh, it's about midday.
Oh.
As you guys reconvene.
I
thought it was midday.
I got 2 rations from the 1 honey, right? Was that the deal we did?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
And just to kind of put out a little bit of meta, if anyone listening or if anyone at the table is paying attention, masonry tools. So masonry tools go for 10 gold. That kit that you had wasn't entirely complete, wasn't like a nice set, wasn't anything like that. So just something that was sticking in my head since then, but in case somebody is fucking listening to this and being like, he got ripped off, that guy's an asshole. You know.
Realistically, Rook wouldn't know.
I know.
At all.
That's why I said it's meta.
Yeah, like...
Letting the rest of the day pass?
Yeah, I'll see halfpence tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, as your 5th day of rest comes to an end, all of you find sleep. Awake in the morning to the sun with a new day ahead of you and things to be undertaken. That's where we're going to pick up next session.
Listening to this installment of Shadow of the Seven, a Nasty Table production.